I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Welcome back, all those who have traveled. So good to see you this morning. And the topic this morning is, should we or should we not judge? Should we or should we not judge? Now, this is quite a touchy topic, and I hope to be able to convey to you the teaching concerning judging, particularly in regards to our service unto the Lord. Now, every day of our lives, we judge. We judge whether we should eat certain things or we shouldn't eat certain things, and we judge whether the man whom we bought certain things from is an honest man, and we judge whether the plumber who came to our home to do some job in the home did a good job or not. And we judge whether we bought a good car or not, bought a good house or not, or whether the school that we send our children to is a good school. So we keep judging and we judge. Until the day, of course, when our ability to judge becomes impaired, and then we are not able to judge anymore. Now think of the favorite things that we like to judge. Employees working in a company would, of course, like to judge the boss, whether the boss is a fair boss or not. And then, of course, all of us citizens of the country, whom do we like to judge most of all? Of course, the politicians of the country, all right? We have got lots and lots of things to say about the leaders of our country. And students in school, of course, would judge whether the teachers are good teachers or bad teachers. And students in university, of course, you will want to judge your lecturers and your professors, whether they do a good job in lecturing and teaching. And then what about us churchgoers? Do we judge? I dare say that we do judge. Isn't it true? We judge our pastor, we judge our elder, we judge our elders, our deacons, our preachers, to whether they do a good job or not in serving the Lord. And it's true, we judge. Now then, when we are judged, my dear friends, how should we react? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Now, in the passage that we are dealing with today, the great Apostle Paul talks about passing judgment. Should we or should we not judge? You see, the Corinthian Christians were judging the apostles and they were judging ministers in regards to whether or not they were fit enough, suitable enough, good enough to minister to the church at Corinth. Yes. And you will remember the church was a very, very divided church, very disunited, and it was divided into several parties. And each of the parties had identified for itself its leader. And it wasn't that these leaders were going around campaigning for support. It wasn't that. It was just that these congregation members in the church divided themselves, and then they adored their leaders, identified themselves with these leaders, and they were proud in having these leaders, and they were very, very proud of themselves in having these leaders. And so Paul had to tell them this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. If you look at chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says to them, "Let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." So Paul said, let a man regard this of us. Regard us as what? Regard us as ministers, servants of Jesus Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God, stewards of the deep truths of God. In other words, Paul was telling the Corinthian Christians who were judging the apostles and judging the ministers in those days. He told them, don't magnify them. You have chosen them to be your leaders, all right? Don't magnify them. Don't glorify them. And then at the same time, don't put other leaders down. Paul told them that. All of them were serving the people, of course. Yes, serving the Christians in Corinth. But more importantly, they were servants of the Most High God. They were stewards of the mysteries of God. And then since they were on His Majesty's service, serving the Most High King, then all ought to be respected, and nobody was to be despised, nobody was to be put down. My dear friends, if we want to judge our ministers and leaders of the church, bear this in mind. They are servants of the Lord. Yes, they are servants of the Lord, primarily. Don't magnify them. Don't depreciate them. Don't put them up. Don't put them down. You see, all servants of the Lord one day shall have to give an account of themselves before the one true living God. They will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. So you reserve your judgment. Don't judge them. On one day, they will have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account of how they have been serving the Lord. Now, it is inevitable that we are judged every day. At home, we are judged, right? At home, we are judged by our parents. Children are judged by their parents, judged by their siblings. And then in school, you are judged by your teachers, you are judged by your classmates, judged by your schoolmates. And then if you are an employee, you are judged by your employer. And then in church, what about in church? All right, in church, we are judged by our fellow church members. Isn't it very true? I dare say that we do judge one another. Now this morning, I want to talk about our reaction to judgment, and primarily judgment in regards to our service unto the Lord. Our reaction to judgment, number one. Number two, I'll talk about the truth about human judgment. And number three, I'll talk about the infallibility of God's judgment. So three things I want to talk about this morning. Let's first of all talk about our reaction when we are judged. Now, when our service for the Lord is judged unfavorably, I think we can become very, very defensive. Well, we will perhaps try to find means and ways to defend ourselves, to defend that why we did this, why we did that, and it was right that we did this, right that we did that. We try to justify ourselves. But friends, like Paul, we must very, very quickly ask ourselves this question when we are judged. All right? Don't fume and don't start defending, but ask ourselves this question. It's hard, I know. But friends, when we are judged, we must ask this question of ourselves. What does the Lord require of me? That's the primary question that we must ask. Not what man requires of me, but what does the Lord require of me? Now, what does the Lord require of me? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Look at verse 2. It says here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Yes, that a man be found faithful. So what does the Lord require of us? What the Lord requires of us is faithfulness. Yes, that's what he requires of us. We are given different talents. Yes, given different abilities, different energy levels, different amount of means, and given the different amount of wisdom. We are given different amount of talents. The real question for us is, how faithful have we been making use of the talents which the Lord has given to us? Now, you remember the parable of the servants and talents. There was this man, rich man, who went on a long journey over a long period of time. And before he left, he gave one servant five talents to manage, and to another two talents, and to another one talent. So the lesson is clear. The Lord gives us different amount of talents, different abilities, different energy levels, different amount of resources. Yes. So if the Lord has given you five talents, what does he expect of you? He expects you to make use of the five talents well. But of course, all of us is too humble to admit that the Lord has given us five talents if he has given us five talents. Okay, the Lord has given us two talents or one talent. But what have we been doing with the two talents and the one talent which the Lord has given to us? How well are we using them? Are we slothful, lazy, sloppy? I dare say, and I've said this many times before, if we were to serve our employer, our secular employer. The way we serve the Lord in the church, serve the Lord in the church. How long do you think we will be able to remain in our secular employer's service? I think we'll be sacked very, very soon. If we serve our secular employer the way we serve the Lord in the church. But friends, we must give our very, very best to the Lord. Yes, we must. Now, in Australia today, we see lots of these talent discovery shows, right? What, X Factor and so forth. So many of these shows. And for these shows, these contestants who are competing, you know, you think they suddenly appear on stage to make a presentation or to sing? No, my dear friends, they had spent years and years preparing for that moment. Years and years, months and weeks, and then before the competition. You know what they would have done? They would have spent hours, day and night, preparing for that grand presentation of themselves. For what purpose, my dear friends? To get fame, to get glory, and of course, to enrich themselves. They do that. But friends, whom are we serving? We serve the one true living God, the creator of the whole wide universe. Yes, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who loved us so much that he gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood for us. Now today, if we have somebody very, very important to serve, a great personality, let's say we are serving that person, do you not think that you will give him your very best? I think you would if that person is a very, very important person. But friends, we are serving not just anybody. We are serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the whole wide universe. Do you not think that we should be serving him well? The one who gave his all for us on the cross of Calvary. We should. It is only our reasonable service that we do so. It is only our reasonable service that we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the one true living God. Then when we serve, if we want to be faithful to the Lord, we are talking about the Lord's requirement of us, right? When we are judged, when we are serving, if we want to be faithful to the Lord, we must not serve with eye service. In other words, should not be serving to please the eyes of men. The Word of God says this in Ephesians 6, verses 6 and 7. Yes, Paul exhorts us not to serve with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service to the Lord and not to men. Our God is not mocked. We cannot bluff him. We cannot pull wool over his eyes. If we are not serving him and we are serving men, serving with eye service, does he not know? Of course he knows. Now I've seen in one church this lady, I think I could have told you before, this lady, a very, very accomplished, world-renowned pianist. Yes, and of course when she attended the church, she played the piano, but for some while she stopped playing. For months she had stopped playing. Then one day this very, very important visitor came to visit the church. This man was obviously a benefactor to the church and a benefactor to several people in the church. And so he came, he was a very important man. So what did this lady do? Of course, when he came, she started playing again. During that period that he was there, my dear friends, she was not serving the Lord. She was serving with eye service, pleasing the eyes of that very important person. Then in the same church, I also saw that there were those who never bothered to clean the church before, but when the visitor was in town in the church, that one person brought out a vacuum cleaner to vacuum the church that morning. In the presence of that person, why? For what purpose? To please the eyes of the person who was there. My dear friends, if we want to serve with eye service, let us be sure that the eyes that we are trying to please are not the eyes of men, but the eyes of the one true living God. Now this means, whether people are looking or not, it does not matter. What matters is, we want to serve the Lord. So when we sense that we are being judged, let us ask ourselves this very, very basic question. How faithful have I been serving the Lord? That is his requirement. How have I been serving him? Have I been faithful in the use of my time, my money, my energy, my abilities, my resources that he has given to me? How well have I been making use of them to serve him? Then when I serve, do I serve only when people are looking? Or it does not matter whether people are looking or not. It does not matter. I serve for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to please the Lord. Yes, friends, that's how we should be serving. And when we are judged, ask ourselves this question: how faithful have I been serving the Lord? Next, let us talk about the truth about human judgment. Now, the truth about human judgment is that human judgment is very unreliable. Yes, and not dependable, faulty, and fallible. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul says, "But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self." Look at verse 1. "Let the man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Let a man so account of us. Based on this verse, "let a man so account of us," it might seem that Paul had given the right to the Corinthians Christians to judge the apostles and to judge the ministers in regards to their capability and suitability to minister to the folks in the city of Corinth. But Paul says here, if you want to judge me, all right, Paul is saying here, if you want to judge me, let me say this to you. Yes, with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Now, Paul was not being arrogant when he said this. With me, it is a small thing that I should be judged of you. He was not being arrogant. Yes, no. He was not saying, I think I'm completely faultless. Yes, I'm a totally faultless, so your judgment means very little to me. He was not saying that. Neither was he saying, I don't care what you say. You can say what you like. That's what many of us often do, right? I don't care what you say, right? I know I'm all right. I know that my conscience is clear. No, he wasn't saying that. Yes, when he said those words, he really understood this truth. He understood it very, very clearly. And that is that man's judgment is faulty, unreliable, and fallible. That's why he says, with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, because I know that the judgment of man is fallible. And not because he was being arrogant, he didn't care what people say. No, he wasn't there. Now, man's judgment is indeed very fallible. Now, let me ask you, how would you judge, for example, Osama bin Laden? How would you judge him? Now, you might say, oh, well, he was a terrorist. Yes, a murderer. He killed so many people, and therefore he deserved to be killed. That will be our judgment of him, isn't it right? But in the Muslim world, there are many Muslims who think very, very highly of him. Osama bin Laden was a great hero. He died as a great martyr. That's how they think of him. And then, you see, these two judgments are like day and night, if you like, so far apart. And then in between, there will be other judgments, you know, between these two extreme judgments, there will be other judgments. So do you not think that the judgment of man is very fallible? I say it is fallible and very unreliable. And then we surely must have heard of cases of people who have been jailed because they were found guilty of rape and of murder. And then came DNA testing. And through this DNA testing, some of these prisoners were found to be completely innocent. You see, the court had made a wrong judgment and had sentenced these people wrongfully to jail. So what can we say about human judgment? Human judgment can indeed be very fallible. You know why? Because our power of understanding is very limited. Number one. Number two, the information that we have for processing our judgment can be faulty information, defective information. And then number three, we could be judging with great personal bias, isn't it true? With great prejudices. Now then, do we really know the thoughts and intents of people when they come to the church, for example? All right? Do we really know the thoughts and intents of actions of people, such as people's coming to church? Now, when someone comes to church, do we really know the thoughts and intents of that someone who comes to church? Can we say for sure that that person is indeed coming to church to worship the one true living God? Or can we say that the person, he's coming to church because he wants to make friends in the church? Or he comes to church because he's looking for fellowship? Or he comes to church because his girlfriend asked him to come? Or his boyfriend asked him to come? Or he comes to church because he wants to make some business contacts in the church? And so forth. Can we really judge the thoughts and intents of people by their actions? We can. But our judgment can be quite faulty. And you can even make a faulty judgment of someone who is close to you. You can do that also. It's so unreliable. All right, case in point would be my uncle and my aunt. My uncle passed away. My aunt wept for him. And then, of course, in Singapore, a Chinese funeral rite was organized for my uncle. Yes, my aunt wept. But then, all of a sudden, on one of the days of the funeral rites, she stopped weeping suddenly. And as of that day, she stopped weeping for my uncle. You know why? Because on that day, one woman with several children, I do not know how many children, I was told the children came with this woman, and declared that they were the other family of my uncle. You see? Now, all along, my aunt, of course, thought very well of my uncle, thought of him as a very, very faithful husband, good husband. And we nephews and nieces also thought well of uncle. We thought uncle was a goody-goody husband, but he was not that good. He had another family. So you see, our judgment, even of people close to us, can be wrong, can be faulty. Therefore, my dear friends, when we make judgment, let us understand this truth. We can be wrong in our judgment, can be very, very wrong indeed. Our judgment is very fallible because we can judge with prejudice. We can judge with favorable or unfavorable prejudice. The scribes and the Pharisees during the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth judge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they judge him unfavorably. Because you see, all along, they were looking forward to a Messiah, a great political Messiah like their great ancestor, the great King David, who would lead them to fight against the Roman government and would deliver them from the tyranny of the Roman government. That's what they wanted the Messiah to do. But when their Messiah came in the form of a poor carpenter, they could not accept that. And because of that, they were very, very prejudiced against the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, who came from the home of a poor carpenter. So when the Lord Jesus Christ performed great miracles, signs and wonders, they attributed the performance of those great miracles to the power of Beelzebub, not to the one true living God. Beelzebub, the prince of the evil one, of the devils. You see how prejudiced they were. Now, likewise, we can be very, very prejudiced in our judgment and unfavorably prejudiced also. Now, for example, if we don't like a person, now, and that person is a very, very quiet person, you know what we'll say of that person because he's very quiet? Still water runs deep. So we say, because he's very, very quiet. But if we like the person, you know what we say? Wow, the person is so quiet, so nice person. You know, he rarely opens his mouth. But when he opens his mouth, he speaks words of wisdom. He's very, very discreet in what he says. Isn't it very true? My dear friends, we judge with great prejudices. So you see, our judgment is fallible because we may not have enough information to process the judgment, inadequate or defective information, and our understanding for making a judgment could be inadequate, yes, not good enough, and then our judgment can be colored by our personal biases or prejudices. But the problem with us is we are very, very prone to make quick judgment. True? Very, very quick we'll come to a judgment. When someone tells us something about some people, very, very quickly we'll form a judgment about that, those people that are, or that someone that is being spoken about. But friends, before we make any kind of judgment, the best thing for us is to hold back. Hold our horses. Don't be so quick to make any judgment. Not until you have heard the other side of the story. And even if we have heard the other side of the story, don't come to a conclusion so quickly. Yes, the Lord has told us, judge not that ye be not judged. It is not that we should not making any judgment at all, because really every day we make judgments, right? But let's not be quick in making any kind of judgment, because our judgment could be very, very faulty. And we must avoid quick judgment, particularly in matters regarding providence, the providence of God, the working of God, the hand of God, or in matters pertaining to the character and motives of people, something which I've touched on a little bit about already. And let's not make quick judgment of ourselves. I'll come to that. Now let's not make quick judgment in matters of providence. Now you take, for example, a case of a young man who's dying of an illness. Now it could be true that this young man had not been conducting himself well, his moral had been very, very questionable, but it would be judgmental on our part to think that the person is dying because of his sins. Judgmental on our part. We must not form that kind of judgment. You remember the case of Job and his three friends. Remember his friends were very, very judgmental where Job was concerned. They said Job must have done something very wrong. He must have some hidden sins. That's why he suffered the way he suffered. Remember, on one single day, Job lost all his property. He lost his family. His three sons and seven sons and three daughters died in one single day. And then shortly after that, he lost his health. And he was suffering. And his friends came and said, Job, you must have some hidden sin, otherwise you will not be suffering the way you are suffering. The truth of the matter was, God had actually allowed Job to suffer. For what purpose? To test the faith of Job, so that Job would come forth as pure gold. God had allowed him to suffer. It was not because of any sin that he had. It was not because he was not a righteous man. So, my dear friends, let us be very, very careful that we not form any quick judgments of people. Yes, particularly in matters related to the providence of God. Then there are, for example, cases of people who have got very, very wayward children, in spite of the fact that they are very, very godly people, but the children are wayward. Let's not come to the conclusion that, these people appear only to be godly, but actually they have some hidden sins. That's why the children are wayward. My dear friends, let us not be so quick in judging. Let us not be so judgmental. Now, instead of focusing on judging people, the right and best thing for us to do is to pray for them. When they are going through some kind of afflictions, pray for them. And if they are not believers yet, pray that the Lord will save them. And if they are going through some afflictions, pray that the Lord will deliver them from those afflictions. I'm talking about afflictions on believers. Pray that the Lord will deliver them from the afflictions. And if the Lord allows them to continue to suffer those afflictions, pray that the Lord will grant them special grace to bear the afflictions, rather than to judge them and say that these people must have some hidden sins. That's why they are suffering those afflictions. No, my dear friends, let's concentrate on praying for their well-being. Now, because our judgment can be faulty and fallible, we should not be quick to judge in matters involving the character and motives of people, something which I touched on already. Now, do we really know the motives of people's heart? I asked that question earlier on in another form, right? Yes, we really do not know. Now, you take the case of Judas. Judas walked 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. For all intents and purposes, Judas was like the other disciples. In fact, he was more prominent than many of the other disciples because he was the treasurer in the Lord's company. Yes, nobody could guess the thoughts and intents of the heart of Judas. Even up to the time of the Last Supper, when they had the last meal with the Lord, nobody knew the true character of Judas. And it was only after Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and had sold him for 30 pieces of silver that the truth came out, that Judas was indeed a thief. Yes, he was very greedy, very covetous. He was holding the money back. He was only interested in the money. Yes, but could people tell his thoughts and intents up to that time? No, they could not. You see, so it's very, very hard to read the thoughts and intents of people. There was this lady who was very rich, or at least people thought she was very, very rich in a certain church. She was not likable because people thought that she was one who was hoarding money. She appeared to be quite rich or very rich, and she appeared to be a hoarder of her wealth, so people didn't like her. But you know, the truth came out after she passed away. Was she a wealthy woman? Yes, very wealthy woman. But she had very, very quietly, over the years, been very, very generous, actually. She had given millions of dollars away, yes, in support of the Lord's work. And quietly, she had done so. So friends, anytime we want to make a judgment on the thoughts and intents of people, let us pray to the Lord to grant us that special grace to check ourselves. Don't be so quick to judge. Yes, think kindly of people. Let's, by the grace of God, ask Him to enable us to think kindly of people, particularly those of us who are in our church, fellow members in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think kindly of one another, especially those who are in the same household of faith, instead of judging one another. Now, since our judgment is so faulty and fallible, let us not be quick to judge ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that we should not be judging ourselves at all. We should be judging ourselves. But rather, let us not be quick to judge ourselves. You know why we should not be judging ourselves so quickly? You know what's the real reason? The real reason is this: we should not be quick to judge ourselves because we are very, very prone to judge ourselves favorably or unfavorably. Of course, favorably. All right, the Word of God says in Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is what? Right in his own eyes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. That's what we are guilty of. Every way of mine is right in my own eyes. So when I judge, would I be judging in my favor or against myself? Of course I'll be judging in my favor. Yes. And so you know what Paul says? Paul says in verse 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3 he says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, of man's judgment. Yet I judge not my own self. Paul says, I don't even judge myself, because Paul knew how faulty and how fallible his judgment was. And so he said, I don't even judge myself. I leave all judgment to the Lord. Now let's learn from the great apostle Paul. We should not be quick to judge ourselves because we are always very, very inclined to think that we are always right. True or false? You didn't answer, right? It's true, okay? I would be dishonest if I were to say that I'm one who readily admits that I'm wrong when I'm wrong. I'm not so ready to do that. I'm very inclined to be defensive, just like all of us here, very inclined to be defensive. But Paul says, let's not be quick to judge ourselves. The truth is, even if we are wrong, we'll come up with all kinds of arguments and all kinds of excuses to show how right and how good we really are. That's what we think. We are very, very good at rationalizing. Now, you take the case of a Christian man doing work, a job for his company, and he has to travel. He travels to a country, and the customs officers in that country are very, very corrupted. He knows that. And he has to bring certain product into that country. But he knows that if he wants to bring the product in, he has to bribe the customs officer. Should he bribe or should he not bribe the customs officers? Now, he will reason within himself. He says, if I don't bring these goods through the customs, I cannot do my job. And if I cannot do my job, then I'm going to lose my job. My employer is going to sack me. And if I lose my job, then my family is not going to be provided for. So it is better for me to bribe or not to bribe. Or which is worse, bribing or not bribing? Not bribing is worse. Bribing is better than not bribing, so I better bribe. You see, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, because he thinks that there are certain things he needs to do, and these are the best things that he do and for him to do, and therefore he does them, regardless of what the Lord says, regardless of what the Word of God says. Now, in the case of Paul, he says, I don't judge myself, verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. He said, I don't judge myself, for I know nothing by myself. What he's saying here is this. He says, I actually search my conscience. And I can say that I search my conscience, and I'm very, very clear that I've been faithful in my service to the Lord, faithful to my calling. I search my conscience, I search my heart. I don't find anything within me which indicates that I have not done my very, very best unto the Lord. He says, my conscience is clear. Even he searches himself, he said, my conscience is clear. I've tried my very, very best. Yet Paul says what? I am not justified by my own searching. He says what? For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. He searches himself. He says, my conscience is clear. He says, yet I cannot justify myself by my own searching. Because why? My judgment of myself is faulty. My searching is faulty, unreliable. Judgment of myself is unreliable. There is only one who judges me correctly, and that is the Lord. And so he says, he that judges me is the Lord. Only he can judge me correctly. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, Paul says this, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. If we commend ourselves, our commendation means nothing. It is only the commendation of the Lord that is really a valid commendation. All right? We can approve ourselves. Our approval of ourselves is nothing. We can judge ourselves to be very, very great. Our judgment of ourselves is nothing. Only the judgment of the Lord is true. Now, seeing that our judgment is so fallible and faulty, surely it is very prudent for us to hold this position. You look at verse 5. Now, this is the position that we should be holding. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. When the Lord comes before the searching eyes of this infallible God, everything will become very, very clear. You see, his judgment is absolutely infallible. And that's my third point, a very, very short one. His judgment is absolutely infallible. He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then you will be very clear why people did certain things. On that day, everything becomes very clear. You cannot hide. Everything becomes very clear. All the thoughts and the intents of the hearts will become very, very clear when we stand before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did people join the church because they wanted to do business in the church? It becomes very clear. Or the people join the church because they want to get married in the church. Yes, in Singapore, we have a beautiful church sanctuary. And I remember years ago, there were people who wanted to join our church. You know why? Because they wanted to get married in our church. So they joined our church. Or do people join the church, or did people join the church because they wanted to take control of the church? They might have an agenda, a secret agenda. On that day, that secret agenda would be exposed. Or did they really come to church because they wanted to worship the one true living God? That motive will also be shown very, very clearly. Before the judgment of our Lord, every secret counsel will be made known. Now today we can sound very pious, we can sound very religious, we can be doctrinally right and accurate, but we can be very hypocritical also. And on that day we cannot hide our hypocrisy when we stand before the Lord. Everything will be very, very clear. So what is the lesson? Don't be so quick to judge others. Don't be so quick to judge ourselves. But let us prepare. Prepare for that day. Yes, the day when we will be judged. Yes, prepare night and day for the day when we will be judged. And will this judgment come? It will surely come, because the Lord says that there is going to be such a judgment. We shall all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged. And if we have done well, then He will say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the word of God says this, "On that day, then shall every man have praise of God." If we have done well, we will receive the praises of the one true living God. Now what about unbelievers in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are still outside the kingdom of God, will you be judged? My dear friends, you will be judged, and you must be very, very concerned about this judgment, because this judgment that is going to come upon you will not be before the judgment seat of Christ. Now let's be very clear. There are two kinds of judgment. For believers, there will be one kind. That judgment is before the judgment seat of Christ, sometimes referred to as the Bema seat. You come before the Lord as servants of the Lord. You will not lose your salvation. You'll be judged whether you have been faithful or not, judged as servants. All right? If you have done well, you'll be rewarded. The Lord will say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, the other judgment is a judgment of damnation. It is the judgment before the great white throne of God. And this judgment is for unbelievers, people who do not have the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts. On that day, they will be judged, and they will surely be found guilty of being sinners, unrepentant sinners, and they will be condemned. All right, I didn't invent all these words. All these things are given to us in the Word of God. So you will have to come before the great white throne of God. Are you prepared, my dear friends, to face the Maker? Yes, I trust you'll be very prepared. And the only way for you to escape the judgment of the great white throne is for you to come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Today, come and trust in Him. Believe in Him. He shed His precious blood for you on the cross of Calvary. If you are willing to confess your sins, come before Him and tell Him, "Lord, I want to repent from my sins. Please come into my heart. Please be my Savior. Please be my Lord. Take charge of my life." He will do it if you mean it. He will do it, and you will be His. And on judgment day, you won't have to stand before the great white throne of God. You will be standing before the Bema seat, the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be judged whether you are faithful or not. Now, as believers serving the Lord, as we said, it is inevitable that we will be judged by people around us, even by our fellow members, for our service into the Lord. When we are judged, we are very, very inclined to be defensive, but let us not be defensive. But when we are judged, remember that question that we need to ask when we are judged: what does the Lord require of me? That is the question that we must ask. And what He requires of us is faithfulness. Yes, faithfulness. Remember, we have to give an account to the Lord one day before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And that is what we must hope to be found faithful by the one true living God. And faithfulness is what we have to give an account for when we stand before the Lord someday. Then we went on to talk about the truth of human judgment. Human judgment is fallible. Human judgment is unreliable. Human judgment is faulty. Why? Because we have limited understanding for judgment. Why? Because we also have limited information, defective information for making judgment. And our judgment is unreliable also because we have our personal biases, our personal prejudices. Yes? And therefore, we must not be quick to judge. Not quick to judge in what? In matters related to the providence of God, how God deals with people, and we should not be quick to judge in matters pertaining to the character of people and their motives, their intentions, and we must not be quick to judge ourselves. Remember, the Word of God says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. If we are quick to judge ourselves, we will surely say, I'm right, I'm good. Isn't it true? So let's not be quick to judge ourselves. Then rather than focusing on judging others, let us pray for them. Yes, when they are afflicted, pray for them. Pray that the Lord will deliver them from their afflictions. And if they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, pray that the Lord will heal them in accordance to His will. And pray also that if the Lord allows the affliction to continue to be with him, that the Lord will grant special grace to this person that we are praying for, so that he may be able to bear his afflictions well for the Lord. And then realize that one day we will all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So instead of judging others, let us prepare ourselves for that judgment. Ask ourselves, as we said, what does the Lord require of me? Prepare for that judgment, for that judgment before the judgment seat of Christ. And unbelievers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust that you will understand the gravity of the judgment before the great white throne. And I pray today that you will pray to yourself, pray to the Lord, that you will want to escape the judgment before the great white throne and come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness. Lord, we pray that you will teach us to understand this teaching in regards to judgment. Oh Lord, we pray that we may not be judgmental. When we have to judge, we pray that we judge wisely. Help us that we may not be quick to judge, but help us to recognize always that if we are quick to judge, we are liable to make mistakes in our judgment, because our judgment is indeed unreliable, faulty, because our understanding for judging is limited, and our information to judge might be inadequate, and that we are very, very capable of judging with personal biases. Lord, we pray that you will help us not to be quick in judging in matters pertaining to the providence of the Lord, in matters related to the character and motives of people, and also, Lord, help us that we may not be quick to judge ourselves, for we know that we are very, very capable of being defensive and very, very capable of justifying our own actions. Oh Lord, we pray this morning that we may not be judgmental, but pray for those who are afflicted, and not to be quick to pass judgment on them, but to pray that the Lord will be very gracious and merciful to them. And we pray for those, pray for all of us, that we may be well prepared for the judgment to come. And particularly, we want to pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, that they may not have to stand before the great white throne of God, but today they will come to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that they will one day, by the grace of God, be standing before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged as saved sinners, as servants of the Lord Jesus. So Lord, we pray that you will help us and give us this understanding that we have gotten from your word of life today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.